We are going to continue on in our Government of Peace series this morning, and today's going to be about peace in prayer. But before we jump into it, let's just pray. So Lord God, we just thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are here with us. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just even help our hearts, help our minds right now that may be thinking about a bunch of different things. Lord, help us to quiet ourselves, to quiet our spirits, to be able to receive from you today, to be able to hear what you want to say. Lord, both what is spoken and by just your still, small voice as you move throughout this service. And Lord, that the seeds of your word become planted in our hearts and produce the fruit that you want it to produce this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So as I read last week from Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, Isaiah 9, chapter 9, starting verse 6 through 7, it says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." And this is the prophet Isaiah, again, just for our understanding, speaking prophetically of what is to come hundreds of years later in the form of Jesus. And it says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," like we were singing this morning. "And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." As I spoke about last week, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, which means he has power, he has rule, he has authority of peace itself. It is his, within his ability and power, to dispense it to all he desires. And as we see in this verse, that there is no end. He does not have a set amount, a limited amount, and he's like, okay, you get a little bit, I got to ration this out a little bit, so you get a little bit, you get a little bit, you get a little bit. It's like, there is no end to it. I can overflow this into your life, overwhelmingly so, for each and every one of you. But as I said last week, we're going to kind of go through, walk through some things of how we come under the governance, his governance, to be able to receive that peace. You can't have it if you're not underneath his rule and his authority and his governance. So how do we do that? Well, one way in which he asks us to do that is through prayer, which prayer is not some over-spiritualized thing. It's simply just talking with God. And we can do that in very real, modern-day vernacular. And actually, Jesus gave the example that to his disciples. He gave them, painted them this picture of a Pharisee who was praying, coming into the altar of God and saying, "God, thank you that you've made me so righteous." And this very eloquent prayer in speech. And then how a tax collector could barely get out a few words other than, "God, please forgive me, I'm a sinner." And Jesus said, highlighted to his disciples, it's the prayer of the tax collector that the Lord received. It's not about your eloquent words. It's about your very real heart that you bring to God when you talk to him. And Jesus actually gave us a model for prayer in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. It's called the Lord's Prayer. And we did a series on this passage of Scripture back in August. And I encourage you, if you listened to it before, I encourage you to go back and listen to it again. If you did not, if you were not here for it, go to the website, pull it up, and listen to that series. But one thing, as we get into this, one thing that Jesus makes note of to us is that life on planet Earth is not easy. I think all of us here can attest to that, that nobody skates on through, nobody goes through this life unmarred and unscarred. We all go through things. Jesus says this actually in John 16:33, "In the world, you will have tribulation," or "you will have trouble." Oh, thanks, Jesus. That's comforting. It's from Jesus himself. But he's being real. He's like, he knows on the planet in which we live. He knows in the state in which we're living in. We're living in a fallen world, in a fallen state. And he knows we're going to go through things. We know there's going to be pain. We know there's going to be hurt. We know there's going to be struggles that we go through, both physically and mentally. He knows these things. And he's saying, this is the reality of it. And so there's many things through this in this life that we have to go through. And these many things can take a toll on us. And they become worries and cares and things that we carry. And I'm going to have my lovely assistant, Lynn, come on up here. I'm going to help try to illustrate this morning. Whoop. And so I've got my nice backpack on here that I go hiking and camping in. Has large capacity. Some of our bags are bigger than others. So some of the things that these things that we go through in life, things could be like things at work. Just like, man, things at work are crazy. And my boss just doesn't understand. And he's putting all this pressure on me. And I just don't know how I'm going to do it anymore. And you kind of take on that weight. And you're like, okay, I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? And then you get home from work and your kids share with you, like, I'm struggling at school. I just got another F. And you're just like, okay, now another thing I got to worry about. Like, how do I help my kid get through his classes? And I got to talk to his teacher and do teacher and parent meeting. And so you're thinking about that. And then you've got, you know, the water bill and the power bill and stuff. I got to think about these. How am I going to pay these? And you start adding some more worry and weight to your back here. And then as all that, you go to start your car in the morning and it doesn't start. And you're like, man, what is going on? So how am I going to fix this? How am I going to pay for this? And another thing just gets added. And then maybe you have to, your body's not feeling good and you have to go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a bad report. And it adds that extra weight to you as well. On top of everything else, then all of a sudden you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't take this. Thank you, Lynn. You give her a hand. And you're just, all of a sudden, you're realizing, I can't bear this. This is too heavy. I feel like I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. And the thing about weight, in a physical, natural sense, the more weight that you put on your body, the more stress that your physical body has to endure. The different parts of your body, your bones, your joints especially, the longer that you carry it, the more that your body has to bear that weight, and it becomes more and more stressed, physical body. The same is true with your spirit, with your soul. The more and more that you carry that these weights, the more and more stress that your spirit and your soul has to endure, and you're carrying that. But God doesn't want us to do that. And now, these are very real things that we have to go through. These are not insignificant things, and I'm not trying to say that. We go through some very real things that, from a natural standpoint, are very worrisome and very heavy things to have to deal with. But if we try to carry them all, we are going to be stressed, we are going to be worried, and we are not going to have the peace of God. But actually, God tells us to do something with this. He says, do not be anxious about anything, or do not worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this word in this passage, peace, is the Irene peace, which we spoke about last week. It's an inner peace. It's not a peace where the outside circumstances change or whatever the problem ends, but it's a peace on the inside regardless of what's happening on the outside. And so Jesus is, and God is asking us that all these things that we are bearing, that we are carrying, we need to bring to him in conversation and in prayer. Hebrews 14 through 16 says this, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Jesus walked this earth, and he knows firsthand the difficulties that we have to face. "But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It says, "Let us then with confidence," another translation is it says with boldness, "let us draw near to the throne of grace," which grace again is giving us something that we don't deserve. God desires to help us in our time of need. And he cares about the issues that we face. He cares about all the different things that could be worrisome, that could be burdensome. And so we're just going to walk through some real world situations and talk about this a little bit this morning. But things that we should be bringing to God that we could worry about, concerned about. I like some of the different vernacular that we use sometimes, words that we use to try to maybe lessen the severity of us trying to take these on. It's like, "Well, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned." It's the same thing. "I'm not afraid, I'm just thinking about this." Thinking about it so much that it's wearing you down. One thing could be just the different, like I said, the different things that we have to think about on a daily basis. Bills, you know, our job. We need a job. We need to pay the water bill. We need to pay the mortgage. We need to, you know, afford clothes because they wear out. It seems like sometimes the washer and the dryer, they eat socks like every other day. It's like, where are these going? And so we have all these bills to be paid and things that we have to do on a daily basis. Jesus actually said, you don't need to worry about any of that. If you read through Matthew 6, 25 through 34, he talks about all the different daily needs that we have from a very real world perspective. And he says this, "The Gentiles seek after these, in verse 32, "and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. For your heavenly Father knows that you need socks." "And he will provide socks for you. All these things will be added unto you." God cares even about the little things. I've prayed about lost keys before and have them appear right in front of my eyes, which I don't know why I didn't see them before. I had one time where I was working on my car, and how many do a lot of your own car work, your own car repair? Few of you? Okay. And I was working on my car, and it seems like without fail, when you're doing this, at some point you drop a bolt into the middle of the engine. It's like, I know, it's like you take every precaution, and it seems like sometimes those bolts just want to jump down into the middle engine and be lost for forever. Most of the time, I'm just like, oh, I can get another one that would fit this spot. But this one particular occasion, it was a bolt, a specific specialized bolt for this one thing that I did not have. And I was like, I can't go without this. I need this. And so I spent the next 15, 20 minutes crawling under the car, seeing where it may have landed because it didn't fall through the engine, looking from the top, couldn't find it, poking around, doing all these different things, getting stressed out. I had work the next day. I was like, I got to get this thing fixed or it's not going to be good. And so I'm worrying and stressing about it. And I'm like, finally, I was just like, God, will you please help me get this bolt out of my engine? So I grabbed a stick or something and poked it down the engine. Sure enough, plop, out came this bolt onto the ground. And I was like, man, I should have done that earlier. I should have prayed about this sooner. And God was like, yeah, you should have. Instead of spending all this time worrying about it, you should have given this care
to me and know that I can work on your behalf. So in that sense, in that instance, I finally gave that one to God. And it would have caused me a lot less stress and worry if I would have done that in the first place. Another thing that we should bring is our family to God. The ones we have with us, the ones that are maybe still lost, unsaved, who maybe are living in a way that is harmful to themselves and to others. And when we think about them, we can worry about them, we can stress about them, be anxious about them. But God asks us to pray for those as well, knowing that it's his desire for them to know him, to know his love, his grace, his goodness, more than you want them to know it. God cares about our family. He cares about sons and daughters coming home. He gave us the illustration in Luke 15 with the prodigal son, where the son finally comes to the realization, like, man, it was better to be a slave in my father's house than to be in this current situation that I'm in right now, living with the pigs and eating their food. And it's Jesus that actually brings this realization to people that they need him, the necessity of him. Jesus actually speaks this to Peter in Matthew 16. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father was in heaven," when Peter declared that he was the Christ. And so when we pray, God starts moving and working on our family's behalf and speaks to them and draws them. And I know this for a fact, that we have several family members that we're still praying for and asking God to move on their life. But this last year, one of those that we were praying for, we didn't know God was doing anything, calls us up. And he's like, "Hey, I want to invite you to my baptism this coming Sunday." And we're just like, wait, what? Like, we didn't even, like, you were off doing some other, like, weird stuff. Like, what's going on? He's like, "Yeah, God's been working on me this past year like none other. And drawing me." And I know, like, we weren't worried. Like, we were just praying. Say, "God, we trust you that you are moving on our family's behalf." And we can know that God is working, that he is moving on your prayers. And we can give him the weight of our lost family members and friends as well and lay that at the cross, lay that at his feet. Another thing is we can bring our healing to him, or our need for healing, both physically and mentally. He doesn't want us to carry that. James 5, 14 through 15, it says this: "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." It's like, if you have physical infirmities, pray about that. Give that to God and have other people partner with you in prayer. Actually, the word says to bear each other's burdens, not to like fully carry the weight, but partner with somebody to pray to God about it. And Psalms 9, 9 through 10 says this: "The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." He's a stronghold for those who are oppressed. So if you are battling depression or oppression spiritually, God is there for you, and he wants you to bring that to him. Psalms 57:1 says, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by." So God can take away depression. As easily as he can heal a physical body, he can heal your mind. And so you should be, and I would say even be specific, like in your prayers, like, God, I just feel like this weight is weighing on me. I don't know what it is. My mind just feels like it's in torment. I'm depressed. Will you please help me in this? And when you do that, you're placing that as well at his feet. Say, I'm giving this weight to you. Now, it doesn't sometimes go away immediately. The full weight of it, God will take. Another thing is direction for life. These are things that, real world things that we can worry about. Like, I don't know what job I should take, what school I should go to, what classes, what living situation. I need a house, an apartment, whatever it may be. Direction for your life. And God cares about the direction that you go, and he wants you to submit your plans to him. Actually, Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And so you can bring just even the direction of your life. Excuse me, let's clear my throat. It's the honor of Pastor Doug this morning. But we can bring these things to God. God, I have some thoughts and ideas about what I should do, but I want you to direct my steps, knowing that you know what is perfect for me. So God, give me wisdom. Actually, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is not sitting up there saying, figure it out, sport. He wants to help us. He wants to guide us and direct us. It is his desire to lead us into his good and perfect will for our life. God wants great for us, not just okay. We can figure out okay for ourselves, but God desires more than that for us. And he wants to lead us and direct us. And so we can ask God, God, give me direction. Help me. Lead me. Put the people in my life that can help me in this as well. And he does. And he just begins to, and as we do this, we just begin to give these things to him. As you can see, I'm getting rid of more weights quickly because this is getting heavy, which happens. The longer that you carry the weight, the heavier it becomes, even if it's a smaller weight. Another thing that we can worry about and we can stress about that God asks us to give to him is, just even if we just look at the state of our country, like all the different things that we could worry about. I don't agree with who's in authority right now, and it just seems like our country's going to hell in a handbasket, and you know, all these different things that are bad just seem to be taking place, and I think I just might leave. God asks us to bring that to him as well, because he cares about the lost. He cares about people coming to know him. Luke 19:10, Jesus says this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So he wants us to pray for our nation. He wants us to pray for revival. He wants us to pray for the next generation of young kids. And say, God, I don't know how it seems like there's so many young people and people today believing so many lies and doing so many things. It seems hopeless. I don't know what to do. God says, it's not hopeless in my hands. So pray and ask God, God, would you move on the hearts of young people? Would you bring revival into the high schools and middle schools and grade schools? Would you even guard the hearts and the minds of these youths, Lord God, that are trying to be indoctrinated by demonic influence? Would you work? Would you move? And when you do that, you cast that care, you cast that burden. You see God move in a way that we could never do. And you see young people start to come to Jesus. Like, I don't know, I just feel like I need to be in church. I've been seeing this happen. How young people and just people in general are like, I woke up one day and I felt like I need to go to church today. I don't know why, but here I am. God cares about the lost, and he is drawing them to him through our prayers. Another thing that we can worry about is just the, if we just look at the current state of the area that we live in, we're like, man, I wish we could go back to the glory days, the 80s, 90s, where we had a functioning mall with a movie theater we could go watch movies at. Like, man, we're just such a depressed and impoverished place now. It seems like every other week, it seems like another place is closing down or getting torn down, and I just feel like there's no hope, and we're just going the wrong way. And you can take that weight on yourself, or you can, again, give that to God and be like, God, would you do something here in Grace Harbor? Would you bring business people to restore this place? Would you bring industry? Actually, in Jeremiah 29, verse 7, it says this, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find welfare. God desires for us to bring the prosperity of where we live to his feet and ask that he would bring it about. And God can. He can bring business people. He can bring industry. He can bring us back to a place beyond what we were before. That this, I've heard this say before, would not be Grace Harbor, but Grace Harbor. It'd be a harbor of blessing. It would be a harbor of hope and prosperity. And so God wants us to bring that also to his feet and say, God, would you move on the behalf of our area? And then when you do that, when you lay these things at his feet, it might not mean that all of these issues and situations just disappear and he takes us out of that situation, but the weight of them are not fully on our shoulders anymore. And go back to John 16:33. It says this, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble or tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm not going to leave you at, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Take heart. Be hopeful. I have overcome. I will be with you in this. And again, he might not take us out of that situation, but maybe the peace that we receive is just knowing that Jesus is with us in everything that we go through. And this notion of I'm not alone, that the God of heaven, the great I am, who created everything, he is with me and he is for me and he's walking with me through this. It's so comforting to know, just in anything, just even in a natural standpoint, to know that you are not alone, to have somebody with you. And I want you to know that this morning, you are not alone. God is with you. Psalms 23:4 says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 says this, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And when you pray and when you come to God in prayer, his presence comes, and when his presence comes, it always brings his peace. Because he's not just one who gives peace, he is peace. And when you come to God in prayer and his presence come, you receive his peace and you place these things at his feet. And just knowing that he is there brings hope. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I know God is with me in it. I know he is for me. And if he is for me, who can be against me? And then he brings the peace like only he can bring. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, or let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. How the world gives peace is situational peace, based on external circumstances. But the peace that God gives, his very presence, exceeds and goes beyond anything that you will experience in the natural. That regardless of what you're going through on the external, his peace can still guard your heart on the internal. And that peace cannot be shaken by the circumstances of life. One thing I want to caution us, though, as we close, is that when we pray and we ask God to move on our behalf in all these different situations, is that we fully trust and rely on him in that. And trust that he is good, and that he is moving, and that he is working, and trust in his timing, and trust in his ways. Sometimes he moves and he operates in ways that we didn't think of or don't understand. I'm like, God, I don't know why you're not showing up in this situation or doing it the way that I thought you should, or why you haven't shown up yet, or why you haven't answered my prayer yet in the way that I thought you should. And sometimes the tendency we have as human beings is when we don't think God is moving in the way that we think he should, or in the timing that we think he should, is those things that we've brought to him. It's like, well, God, if you're not doing anything about it, I guess I will. And you take that weight back up again instead of trusting him. And then again, you just begin to bear that weight of worry and concern and anxiety, and it just weighs you down and it makes you fearful. Until you're like, okay, I was wrong to do that. I'm going to lay it at your feet again. However it happens, whenever it happens, God, I trust you that you are moving, that you are working, and that you are with me. And that you are going to use this hard time for my good and for your glory. If you don't get anything else out of this morning, other than knowing that when you bring these cares and these worries to God, that you usher in his presence into your life, and that you know that you're not alone in your struggles. You're not alone in the trials and the troubles that you go through. That you would know that a very real God is very present in your life and in your situation, and he cares. And nothing is too big for him that he cannot overcome. And nothing is too significant for him that he does not care about. If he cares about getting the bolt out of the middle of my car, he cares about your little thing as well. But it all starts with first knowing Jesus, the one who cares for you. So if you could just stand as we close. If you do not know Jesus, if you have not given your life to him, if you've not accepted that sacrifice that he made on the cross to save you of your sins, to pay for those and to free you of those, and enter into that relationship with him where you can come to him boldly and be like, Jesus, I need your help. If you haven't done that yet, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know this God who will be with me in everything. If that's you this morning, can you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that says, I want Jesus this morning? I see those hands. I see that hand. Is anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for those hands. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. This is for you online as well. We're just going to pray this prayer together, and you can just repeat after me. Father God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for me. Jesus, thank you for willingly dying for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sin and help me from this day forward to serve you, to live for you, and to bring all my worries and cares to you, knowing that you care for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. That's the best thing that you can do, is enter into a partnership, a relationship with the one true God who cares where you're at and he wants to help you. He already did immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine. Even more than we ever deserved, by dying on the cross for our sins and making that way for us to have a relationship with him forever. But beyond that, he still cares about the things that we go through in this life, and he wants to meet us right where we're at. So if I could just have the prayer team come on forward. If you need prayer for anything this morning, please come forward and get prayer with somebody. Partner with somebody in prayer and make these requests made known to God. Or, at the very least, come to the altar and just lay some things at God's feet. Lay some things down that you've been worrying about, you've been stressing about, that you've been bearing those weights. Do that this morning. And I want to encourage you also that it doesn't need to take place on a Sunday. Wherever you may be can be your altar. It could be in the car, it could be at home, it could be at work, where you just present your requests to God. And when you do that, God hears and his presence comes. Amen. Amen. Let's worship as we close.